Sharon again, and I want to talk about the journey that I had most recently, which was through British Columbia and the Canadian Rockies. And one of the things that we ran into a challenge in, after we got out of metropolitan sort of Canada, I would say, where there are cities, was cell phone coverage. And so we stopped at a Staples. I ran into one Staples, and I stopped there and talked to them a little bit, and then I talked to my provider and my service, and apparently Canada doesn't legislate one, you know, network of providers. Each province can decide what they want to do. And so it's particularly problematic in British Columbia, where they chose to do their own service as a way of raising money, funds. I'm sure that's probably why they were thinking about it. So I had spotty, very spotty coverage along in Canada before then, when I was in the very rural areas as I was headed west. But when I got to British Columbia, there is no service. Now, my cell phone provider said, you can get a, you know, a day account or something, but they can be, it's just astronomical. It could be, $18 a minute or something, he said. And so I decided not to do that, obviously. But the most challenging thing for my team, my support team, was not being able to connect with me, obviously. This was a big issue for them, and that's why I'm catching up on recordings, because I wasn't able to record. But British Columbia was equally beautiful in a different way, and I saw much more wildlife. And as you go higher into the mountains, it is there's not as many forests, but it's so spectacular, the views and the mountains themselves and the washes. And you see these signs that say beware moose ahead, you know, or beware buffalo ahead, and I saw all these critters. I at one point in time I saw three moose that walked right across the road in front of me, and you know, I was going slow enough. Thankfully, I'm sure they would do a lot of damage to a car, but I was going slow enough that I could stop and enjoy these moose walking across the road. I came to one point where I rounded a bend, and here were these two dozen, maybe, buffalo, and they were half of the herd grazing in one side of the road and half grazing on the other, so I just slowed down just in case I spooked them, but you didn't spook them at all. This was their country, and they were obviously familiar with having cars going through it, et cetera, and trucks and stuff. And so it was just really wonderful and idyllic. And then what was the other animal I saw that was so? Oh, I saw a lot eagles. I saw a lot of eagles and eaglets, and that was really fun to see too. And then I think there was one other four-footed animal, which right now I can't remember. But it was really much more wildlife in that section for some reason of the journey that I really enjoyed a lot. And I finally got through there, and I finally got a place to stay where I had a phone and I could contact my people that were freaked out that I got there. And I was still in British Columbia, obviously, and just then the next day I moved into the Yukon Territory, and so I was able to get a little bit of cell phone coverage, but very spotty. And I launched onto the Canadian highway, and I knew it was going to be sparse, and they talk a lot about that. But when you first get into it, it's much like traveling on the interstate in the U.S. is that there were lots of services. But as you got farther and farther along into the Rockies, and the other thing I noticed was none of the trucks. You saw no truck on the Canadian road up. It was just strictly the Alaska Highway. It's, it's the Alaska Highway. It's a U.S. highway. But there were no trucks at all on that highway. So, and I sort of learned why. It's a smaller road. It's a narrower road. But there's absolutely nothing. And during the season, you can see during the summertime, it's very busy, and there's campsites and things like that. But all of that is closed. And literally, you went miles and miles and miles without seeing anything. And you might pass a few cars, but not even very many cars are on the track. And they're saying it's very isolating. You're all by yourself, literally, on this road. And that's what you feel like. You came to a couple work crews and activity, but ordinarily, you saw nothing. And in the Rockies, you don't see all that same amount of wildlife that you saw in the States, in British Columbia, in the Yukon, in the British Columbia area. You saw, because it's much more rocky. I mean, you're in the mountains, you're in elevation, and it's such a different scenery. Now, I've been through, you know, Yosemite and places like that, the Sierras, and it's nothing like the Sierras. These mountains are mountains forever, and you just loop around them, and you're in mountains for hours and hours and hours and hours. I thought I would never get out of mountains. You're not going up the tops of mountains. Obviously, there's tons of snow, but you're weaving within these different mountains, and you keep thinking, you lose track of what direction you're going because you're weaving so much, and you're assuming you're still going north, and you look down at your navigation system, and it looks like you're still going, you're sort of going northwest all through these mountains. But it's very, very unsettling and very disorienting not to see anything but rock, and not to have any sense. You've seen one rock, you've seen them all, you see them all sort of thing. It was spectacularly beautiful, but it was also very unsettling to be driving through that in the way it was and so isolating you were. So when you ran into town, you definitely got gas, and the town was literally a gas station. Sometimes it was the only thing there was this little gas station. I couldn't even remember all the different brands of gas I pumped into my little old car at different points in time, but you'd run into a gas station, you'd fill it up, and they'd have like we have, you know, they have snacks or coffee or something like that there, and a restroom, and that was pretty much it. And when you're on the Canadian highway, all their rest areas are two pit toilets, basically. That's it. So it's a rest area, and you're thinking, finally a rest area. And all it is these outhouses, what I call outhouses as a kid, in the farms that she had. And so it was just a very different, I mean, I loved it. It was very fascinating, but it was just so unusual. And there's no berm on the Canadian highway whatsoever. I mean, you could, you're not going to fall off a mountain or anything, but there's literally no berm to actually get off of. I wanted, there were so many cases I really wanted to take pictures, but you're sort of afraid to pull off and take a picture because somebody could be coming around the mountain, the bend right behind you, and run into you. You know, it was not, so there were tons of shots in the mountains that you just could not take because there was never a place to get off. To do that. And so when you could get off, you would try to take some shots where you were, and they were spectacularly beautiful. The bridges that you crossed over, and we ran into road crews on the Canadian highway getting things ready for the road for more traffic, but hardly any guardrails in the Canadian highway at all. I mean, in the really steep places there were, but you could be in other areas where there were just no guardrails whatsoever. And so I can see why trucks don't travel. Obviously, it's much cheaper to ship anything from by boat than it is by truck to get up to the from Canada up into Alaska. So that was a surprise to me, but it was gorgeous highway. But again, I had absolutely no cell coverage and drove my friend's bananas. And at some point in time, I didn't have my navigation system wasn't talking to me, and I'm not sure exactly why. And but at some point in time, I didn't even notice that I was missing it. And so I blew right by where I was supposed to stop, which was like a 300-mile stop or something like that, where I was supposed to stay the night. And before they entered the highway, I was supposed to stay the night. And instead, I'm on the Canadian highway. And it never said anything to me. So when I got to the end of the Canadian highway and I got to the town I thought that I knew I was supposed to be at some point in time, I just stopped, and I called my I stopped at a motel, and I asked if they had a vacancy. I was just going to get a room at this point in time. I don't even know what time it was, 12:30 or something this morning. And they said they were filled up, but they told me there were two other motels, and they told me where they were. So I called my friend, my pit person on this leg of the trip, Valerie, and I woke her up, and she gave me a big yelling at and all this stuff. But anyway, I told her I just didn't have any coverage, and I'm in and here I am, and now where am I supposed to stay? I'm in Toke. And she said, Toke, you're supposed to be in Toke tomorrow night, and you're supposed to this motel. And I said, I was at that motel, and it's booked. And she said, well, that's because you've got room for tomorrow night. So anyway, so she, I went to the motel and got a room. It was not a big deal, but it was like, I actually went like 600 and some miles, and it was so, I think I was so captivated by it, I didn't feel tired. I was glad to get where I was getting because it was dark. But it was just so, you're so dependent on devices when you have memory loss, and with my navigator not saying, here's your next stop. And I should have recognized it wasn't talking to me, but I figured when it was in the Rockies, I just wasn't getting any signal. So it didn't occur to me that it wasn't talking to me before I got to the Rockies. So I think we're so device conscious, and particularly there's so many wonderful devices to let somebody with Alzheimer's disease do things like I'm doing. But instead, I cut the shaped off many years off the life of my pit crew, so to speak. because they were so worried about me. And I'm happy-go-lucky, having a wonderful time where they're in misery. So I'm meeting some of my pit crew today in Alaska because they're coming up to film Alma. So I'm I hope they will have gotten over it by the time they get settled in and see me. They were definitely very testy when I talked to them this morning. So anyway, today will be a day of us just enjoying ourselves, and we will be surprising Alma in the morning. And I have talked to her, and she's had a few adventures in her life since I talked to her. And so it will be a great reunion to see her, and it will be an interesting experience, I think. So I thank you all for your support and interest, and I will get back with you later. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.